flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. When Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, good Friday, everyone. Welcome in. It is Dom time, and the president pardoned over 20 pro-life folks, Thomas More Society involved, that were so worthy of this. And it brings into focus, I haven't heard the bishops say anything about it, not a word from the bishops. But I'm going to play you Bishop Seeks, who's the bishop in El Paso, talking about how the Catholic Church is going to stand against all this nonsense of deportations and President Trump. Where were they when President Biden was the most extreme abortion president as a policy that we've seen, yet not only a Catholic, but a devout Catholic? All right, so this whole deportation thing takes a bit more of a turn here. Now, Bruce Castor is going to be here at 12:30, big-time lawyer, friend over the years, and he had a lot to say about Krasner and the J6 defendants if he moves to now persecute them by continuing to go after them on some, pun intended, trumped-up charge. But in addition to that, Castor defended a bunch of J6 defendants. I was unaware of that till this all went down yesterday. So I'll ask him about that. Mark Houck will be here at 2 o'clock today. He, of course, suffered under the FACE Act, under what we're talking about, that these 20 people pardoned are now free. Now, did they violate technically some laws somewhere? I'm not going to be one of those guys and skip over it. They were praying inside an abortion clinic or in front of it. But the penalties under FACE are beyond draconian, because at all cost, they want to make you pay, as Mark Houck did, remember that raid, if you dare challenge what's going on in abortion mills. That's what the Biden administration did, and the bishops didn't say anything about that, did they? They didn't say, well, we're going to protest ourselves, did you, Dolan, or Seats, or Perez? Did you say anything about it? Well, here is Bishop Seeds, though. He was on CBS, I think it's CBS This Morning. Now, the Catholic Church also has a conflict, as some of you know, and it's hard to even calculate how much. They get paid a lot of money to move illegal immigrants around and resettle them. Yes, along with any number of Protestant sects, but they may be the biggest. So they're compromised all over the place. How do they have any standing at all? Well, they don't. How do they still have people in the Catholic Church? And the answer is they're replacing the Catholics of old And you have people who are still wedded to the church, and they don't care about these bishops and their nonsense, and they continue on. Listen to this guy now. Remember how many times I played you the Bishop of Tucson saying he wanted to excommunicate Border Patrol that were enforcing the Trump policies, so-called separation of families? Just picture that. Who are these guys? Where do they come from? How have they turned around? Well, some of it's Francis, a crazed progressive masquerading as a pope. He's appointed, put into play, and he's trying to do that even late in life to continue this for more and more years. That's where some of them come from. Others have just always been this way, and now they have, over the last 10 years, more of a chance to exhibit it. So here's the Bishop of El Paso on CBS News this morning.
Is the Catholic Church in the United States taking a formal position on President Trump's immigration policies in recent days?
We are. We think we have to speak to many of these policies, which we see as going against some of the basic tenets of our faith, frankly. The fundamental right of every human person that need to be respected, no matter their origin, no matter their situation.
What is the strategy for the church in the United States, if any, in terms of dealing with this administration beyond the immigration issues this week? How do you have a big picture four-year approach to how you're going to handle this moment?
Well, I think all of us are in the church and without are looking to see what shape this administration takes and what positions they actually land on. I don't think any of us knows exactly, but things have come into a clearer light in regard to the immigration questions right now, and so we're responding to those.
Well, is the Vatican paying close attention to what's happening here in the U.S. and Pope Francis? Are they keeping tabs on this through the conference? And do you expect Catholic leaders, including the Pope, to meet with President Trump at some point this year?
Well, I can't say what Pope Francis's plans might be, but he certainly is paying attention, and he has spoken to some of the concerns based on what the president, now president, said during his campaign. He expressed a great deal of concern about some of the proposals.
I don't know. The catechism must have changed. There are sections in here this guy's referring to. What he should have done with the bishop is let's drill down a little bit here and let's talk about the people that have been taken away here. Let's talk about their crimes. Let's talk about the risk we face from them. How about that, Bishop? Let's talk about the previous president and his nonsense that you said nothing about and will continue to say nothing about. So it's going to be very interesting to see what these bishops, archbishops, and cardinals actually do in the face of this. But I don't see them, the St. Thomas More Society or the great people who helped Mark Houck. They're the ones that secured this pardon from President Trump of these people. You know, if they're going to be cited for a misdemeanor, look, you have to follow the law. And if there's a misdemeanor offense here around an abortion clinic, okay, you know that. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. knew he was violating the law, even though the law was immoral. You're willing to pay the price. But the draconian punishments that they suffer are very similar to what happened to Mark Houck early on a Sunday morning, the whole world storming his house with seven kids inside to persecute him. That's exactly what happened here. And these bishops and this underpinning of the church, they're all about this stuff. They're not embracing this, not saying anything about this. They're concerned about people that are here illegally, many of them horrific criminals. And they want to lecture the rest of us on this stuff about some vague pieties. They have no... ask about Lake and Riley. Ask about that. Ask about what they would do here. They have no plan. They just want to lecture. So if you are Catholic, I'd love to ask that broader question. How is this sustainable with people? Who is it that's still buying this stuff? Are they just too big to fail? There's such an infrastructure of the Catholic Church. It will always be there despite this type of gibberish. It's a real problem. This guy, Seitz, is in good standing. That's why CBS News had him on. I'd put any one of these guys on. They won't come on. We asked many times for the Bishop of Tucson. He would probably excommunicado in the middle of that. You don't even buy that. You're excommunicating. Well, you're going to hell, buddy, because you don't agree with us. And you are not following what the code book now. Illegals first, not Americans first. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get a line. Victor Fiorillo has got an interesting thing here, too. Victor over at Philly Mag is Victor in the tank, worried about illegal immigration and people being picked up in our area. And he said he's hearing, and you can see it, Upper Darby is the centerpiece of this. In today's Philly Mag, his big piece or whatever heading into the weekend, he says that ICE raid rumors swirl in Philly's migrant community. And this is in the wake of Trump being inaugurated. And in this, he says, many of the anecdotal reports center on two large Upper Darby parking lots, where men are seen by the dozens every morning waiting for contractors to show up in pickup trucks and give them work. So, okay, people are here working. That's a good thing. Now they're not showing up because of Trump. But is this process, contractors showing up, is that good for Americans? Or is it just good for the contractors to have cheap labor showing up in a parking lot? You do whatever you want with them. I would ask the question in our union brethren, where are you guys? Victor Fiorillo knows some parking lots where all kinds of dozens, hundreds of guys are and contractors show up. Where are you to call attention to that? Doesn't that undercut unions? Doesn't it undercut American workers? If everybody in the world knows in Upper Darby, it's there. Where are those people to point this out? 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. So Bruce Castor here at 1230. We have Mark Houck coming off these pro-life people who were pardoned. And these are people where there's no doubt, you know, whatever we've said this week about J6, there is no doubt that these are people that were excessively held, brutally held under this FACE Act. Same law. Cockamamie court. Thank God Mark Houck was able to beat it and did not have to go to jail. Well, I think there was a period of time he was in jail around this stuff. And in talking about this, they point out how few times the Biden administration has ever gone after those that are firebombing pregnancy centers and the like. But you show up at an abortion clinic and you have one step toward big time stuff. Trump, the right thing. His advisors, the right thing. Glad these people are out. I don't know if Mark Houck knows them, knows of them. I know he's got a civil lawsuit that I hope he wins against multiple people. Okay, here's how you get in. 855-839-1210. Now, yesterday was Oscars nominations came down and we kidded around, talked about that. Some of them ridiculous. What we're looking for today on the side question is to hit us with the film that may be widely separate, spectacular. People rave about it, or at least they say really good things about it. If it, not top 100 of all time, really good things. But you think you don't get it. Maybe you think it's a bit overrated. Maybe you even think it's a lot overrated. Now, I hate these fantasy films. The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah.
It takes me back to when I was still teaching high school, and I think it started then. Oh, my God.
Wait, are you saying that the nerds were reading it so you don't like it?
I don't think they
were. Were you judging your students?
Yeah, I don't think they were reading. Of course.
This guy's a dork.
I don't think they were reading it as much as talking about it and all kinds of stuff. They may have been reading it slightly. The other one I'll take off is Citizen Kane. I've seen Citizen Kane a number of times. It is not the greatest film of all time. I get it. I get what the driving force is. The genius of Orson Welles and all that and Rosebud. But you got Godfather. You got Godfather 2. You got any number of those.
Kind of overrated.
It's overrated. It might be in the top. It's in the top 50 films, I guess.
What, Godfather?
No. Citizen Kane.
Oh, I thought you were
yeah.
to Godfather.
Okay, Dan, what's yours?
Dom, I'm going to go with, first off, Avatar, James Cameron's master.
I would agree.
Yeah,
yes.
I can't
yeah,
agree
I would agree.
More.
It's
I would agree.
Terrible. There's nothing special about it. Castaway with Tom Hanks, 2.5 hours of watching a guy on an island talk to a volleyball.
I don't agree with that. I don't think anybody makes it a master film. I mean, it's good.
No, it's rated highly. It was critically acclaimed.
For sure.
Yeah.
And the way that the story unfolds, you know, critics were...
Well, you think about how hard it is, one man carrying being stranded on an island, you know. That's a lot.
Yeah, but I don't want to watch it. Yeah, it's an impressive performance from Tom Hanks, but I don't care to spend 2.5 hours watching a dude on an island.
I think they do a lot of little things. That's always a motif. Gilligan's Island, this is on a masterful level.
And
okay.
I'm trying, Dom. I'm really trying hard because my entire life I was never that kind of guy, but my wife is. She's a big fan of the Harry Potter series.
Okay.
And I've kind of, you know, casually watched the films, but I wanted to pay attention and watch them in order. So that's what we're doing now. Just wrapped up the fourth one, and I gotta say, those movies are totally overrated. I just can't.
Wow.
I can't get into it.
They're a kid's thing.
I don't know if it is, though. It's like a really Hollywood. You really get into it. You're supposed to feel it and feel like you're at Hogwarts. And we started it around Christmas, so it felt like Christmas in the first two.
Harry.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Not that good. No.
All right. So we got a lot of them. You want to place yours pretty early, Henry? What's your number?
Yeah.
One?
So I got two here.
Yeah.
And let me preface this first one by saying I think this is a good movie.
Oh man, here
I
we go.
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But.
I've got
to couch
it.
It's completely overrated, and that would be the movie Goodfellas.
That sounds like the Sons of Italy. If you're a member of the Sons of Italy, 855-839-1210, you may want to call it.
I think it's a very good movie, but I've spoken about this before. I think Marty Scorsese just makes good movies. I don't watch any of his movies and go, oh, man, that was fantastic, that was awesome. Like, I watched Killers of the Flower Moon last year, and I was like, you know what? That was a good movie. It was almost, 3.5 hours?
Oh, yeah.
It was a good movie.
He's gone
Not anything
length,
more
yeah.
than that. So, and then the other one I'm going to take off is the movie Drive, starring Ryan Gosling.
Ah, it's a good one.
It's got a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'd give
soundtrack.
It about a 20, because that is an absolute nothing burger of a movie.
The rise that you have of all this 80s music and all now is really due to the rise of Kavinsky that came with that soundtrack. It's a big film,
man.
You can
put all the 80s music you want in that movie. It still stinks. Nothing happens. He just drives.
I don't know that, so I'll have to
drive. Stand back, lady. We're in the elevator, and this guy's going to hit you.
All right. So that's how you get in on the side question. Coming off yesterday's Oscars, we went through it, the trans film. Still, we're going down that path, and the anti-Trump film with two people nominated for top awards in that. Catholics and this message. What are you expecting to hear? What do you hear in your church? Do they speak about this? Because the bishops, archbishops, and cardinals, they're all over this, telling us about human dignity as people are being murdered and attacked. That's not in the gospel to these guys. The gospel is the gospel of St. Francis. Go wherever you want. Do whatever you want. It doesn't matter, except don't do it in Vatican City. They have laws against that. All right, phone lines, 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All you need to do is just push #1210. Love to get you on board. Talk Radio 1210.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, it is Dom time, 855-839-1210. You get on board. Bruce Castor here at 1230. A lot to report. He defended, I'm not sure how many, J6 defendants. And when Larry Krasner talks about persecuting them now under state law, he's got a lot to say about what would be triggered, what would happen around that. Speaking of Krasner, we were right when we told you yesterday, very early on, that the Democrats met the ward leaders, Bob Brady, and they said, no, we're not endorsing this guy this time around. So no endorsement for Krasner. All right, the Krasner people respond that that's why these guys are not growing the vote. They don't know that progressives love this guy. How could you not endorse him? All right, so this is going to be a heck of a dogfight. I think there's a real shot here. How would I rank? I got to be honest. Trump winning, yes, that's the big picture. I get it. All that that involves nationally. But if you ask me personally, and I'm being brutally honest, being there in May and seeing Larry Krasner defeated, that would be more personal satisfaction. That would be just unbelievable. Just to see that news conference, to hear what he might say. I predict he would cower out and wouldn't even say anything. Or demand a recount, or to say it was rigged, or something like that. I think there's a real shot. There are enough elements in Philadelphia now that want this to be over with Krasner. And who is the honorary captain? I don't know if we got this because I saw it late, but who is the honorary captain? Here it is. It's cut 16. Here is the honorary captain pulling out all the stops to win this game on Sunday.
Hey, Philadelphia, Nick Foles here. I'm excited to announce that I'm going to be this weekend's NFC Championship game honorary captain for the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm excited to be back in the link. I'm excited to watch the Eagles play. But most importantly, one of my favorite moments as an Eagle was in the NFC Championship game and the energy the crowd brought. There was nothing ever like it. I never experienced anything like that in my life. It was amazing. So bring it this weekend. Bring the energy. Be rowdy. Yell those Eagles chants. And of course, fly Eagles fly.
All right. Is this a secret plan? If Hurts is immobilized anymore, can't after a quarter or two go, who would you put in there? Nick Foles without any preparation or Kenny Two Gloves? You know who I'm going with.
No, that's not a bad idea.
Put him in there. Yeah. Hey, magic. He's got it. And he would have done it the second time except for Alshon Jeffery dropping that pass.
Don't forget about the most popular quarterback in town, Tanner McKee.
Oh, that's right.
He needs some shine.
No, I think Nick Foles is who you got it. You can't explain it. Don't. I think I'll throw a touchdown. Doesn't know what he's doing. I didn't say that. But he just did it. And he did it the second time around. Okay.
With Ethos, it only took 10 minutes, and he got 2 million.
F-E-S Eagles!
I got to say, what an embarrassment. There are shirts out there now around it. I guess that's how you have to play it if you are Mayor Parker, but embarrassing. Come on, Jarrell. It's kind of embarrassing to put a mic. Anybody can get wound up, but this is just ridiculous stuff. All right, so Nick Foles, I think he'll come out at some point with the crowd. At least that's the sense I got from all this.
Mm-hmm.
That's pulling out all the stops. That's the big guy.
Does he truly deserve a statue outside the stadium?
Of course.
Yeah.
It's like a Paul Bunyan thing. You
really
can't explain
so?
It. It's magic. It's not for longevity of a career or whatever. It's for magical moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if they win another one, will that take it down? And not sure, because it's...
Doesn't it say something that the person we're idolizing with a statue, though, is a backup quarterback?
But he was a starter. He had other years here where he was incredible.
Yeah, what was it?
2013. To the people who complained about the Rocky statue.
27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and he had a game where he threw 7 touchdowns.
Yeah, I get that, but...
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's uneven, to put it mildly.
He had one of the most interesting careers of any athlete.
So if Jalen Hurts wins the Super Bowl, is he getting a statue?
No.
Why?
He's paid $50 million and he doesn't come. We did it because of the magic.
A guy that was a backup quarterback almost his entire career deserves a statue for us to worship, but the guy who we draft and develop and becomes the starting quarterback and
wins. Because Nick Foles actually did it. He's the one that won it.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is along for the ride.
And Foles was almost like the prodigal son. Returning to us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he left. He went to St. Louis and was terrible. Went to Jacksonville, was terrible.
Exactly.
Came back as a backup, and you know what? He still has it.
Yeah, exactly. Put him in. Put Nick in. That should be the mantra. All right, 855-839-1210. Coming to you, though, hit us with that film that you think people go a little bit too far with. Undistinguished class this year for the Oscars. Let's go to Gary in Newtown, because I don't believe he's saying this. Hey, Gary, good afternoon. What do you have today, Gary?
I think we can make this call really, really short. Well, I don't know. I'm not you, but I'm going to tell you, if the point spread gets to 6.5 points, I'm taking Washington. I'm sorry.
Why should we even take this call? You're a traitor. You're a mercenary.
I'm with you, Gary.
I'm betting. I want the Eagles to win, but I want to win like I did last week. I took the Rams with 6.5, and not only did we beat them by 6, I won. I made money. So I'm sorry.
It seems to me you're a bit distracted by all your gambling.
That's the thing is, when I gamble, oftentimes I'll refuse to gamble in this kind of spot because I don't want to be caught in the second half hoping, praying for my money that the game remains close and I'm pooping my pants with stress. I just want to see him pull away in that fourth quarter and blow him out.
Dan, I got to tell you, my brother called it. That, by the way, last Saturday was my first bet, honest to God. And he said, Jim, you're going to watch the game a whole lot different. And when they got to safety, I was the only person in the room cowering going,
Wait a minute there.
You can't be cheering that up.
Let's not get too crazy. Don't give away your alias there. Let's stick with Gary here. But Gary, what's the film?
The setup was my wife and I had one young daughter at the time. We put her to bed. We're going to watch this fabulous. Everybody's talking about this Oscar-rated movie. We're going to have a date night. Got the wine going. Got the cheese going. Got the shrewdberry, whatever. And it's The Pianist. And it was the worst movie I've ever watched. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes.
Well, look, you shouldn't watch that for a date night.
Is it worse in the sense that it made you feel really dreary? Or is it like you think it's an actually bad film?
It's a great film.
It was awful.
All right.
It was awful. And Dom, I'm going to get excommunicated. Yeah. I don't know. You are way better than I am. I could never be a Catholic. I mean, I hear you talk about your faith, and you're like the stand-up guy in my book. And I'm like, he's really the guy who is up against these bishops, the only person I know. But how you can actually go to church, I don't get it. You must have a really good priest.
All right. Thank you, Gary, very much. Well, I might be spotty on church attendance. I'll admit that.
Well, I think there are a lot of, exactly. My local priest is not very in step with the Pope.
Yeah,
either.
I think, I think a lot of priests
are very
are not. But the Pianist is a great film. The thing is, though, it is an intense film. I mean, my God, it's intense. You don't want to be watching that for date night. You got to dial it down a little.
And Adrian Brody back in the scene with the Oscars with The Brutalist now.
Yeah, he's really good. He is. And The Pianist, it's unbelievable. But you can't watch that, though, expecting on a date night with wine or something. It's like going to The Passion of the Christ and bringing a vat of popcorn with you. Come on. Can't do it. Don't eat anything during something like that.
Pretty cool, though. The new film, it's about a Holocaust survivor who actually settles in Philadelphia. So,
I didn't know it was in Philadelphia. Yep. Okay. I didn't have no knowledge of the title of that. Okay. 855-839-1210. Bruce Castor, all-time great attorney, friend of the show, friend. He's next. He had a lot to say when Larry Krasner started making noises, still is, about going after the J6 people, persecuting them. That's what it would be. But what would the repercussion be for Krasner? All right, Bruce will explain. I did not know until yesterday he was the defense attorney for several of them. He's next, and hit us on the side. Oh, The Pianist. Come on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Dom Giordano's show. So Larry Krasner makes national news again. Last time it was Elon Musk. Now he wants to go after the J6 people part in defendants, claiming somehow or another state law might apply. First of all, that doesn't seem possible or likely. And two, what would the consequence be for him? And then Delaware Valley Journal, second to none, asked Bruce Castor all that, and he's with us now to give us some answers. Bruce, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Dom, thank you for having me on the program again.
So when you hear this from Krasner, is there anything out there under state law? What kind of bank shot? Just possibilities, Bruce, would he be talking about?
Well, the only thing I could think of would be if the Commonwealth could demonstrate that a participant or participants in a conspiracy engaged in that conspiracy in this case, the city of Philadelphia, and then one of them went to D.C. to carry out an act in furtherance of that conspiracy. That's all that I can think of. It seems pretty outlandish to me. It looks like a publicity stunt to me.
Right. But you did talk, too, about there could be he could be sued civilly, personally, right?
Yeah. I mean, all of us who do that kind of work know very well the limits of qualified immunity, and we've all learned a lot more about qualified immunity lately because of the Supreme Court decision as it relates to President Trump. Prosecutors have absolute immunity for what they say in court and what they file in court records. But what a prosecutor does outside of court and outside of that context has qualified immunity, which means the prosecutor has to be doing something in furtherance of their duties, and it has to be done in good faith. So if the prosecutor knows that what they're doing is not being done in good faith, while arguably pursuing any criminal investigation within the jurisdiction of the prosecutor is in furtherance of their job, if they know that it's in bad faith, they could be in danger of losing their limited liability and therefore subjecting the city and themselves personally to liability. So you have to be very careful. I mean, how many times did you see me do press conferences where I reminded everybody that they're presumed innocent when we were arresting somebody because I wasn't saying that they were guilty. I was saying we had enough evidence
exactly.
That we were arresting them.
Yeah, you've been on both sides of this. Sure.
Yeah, yeah. And it's almost impossible to explain the contempt that those of us who defended January 6th defendants, I defended four people. My partner, Mike Vandervan, also defended people. And the contempt we have for these cases is mind-blowing. You know my background and my general pro-law enforcement stance. When I was down in D.C., I mean, I know when I'm supposed to win a case. And I tried a case down there in one of the 1-6 cases, and there was absolutely no chance that this, A, would have even been a crime if it had occurred in Pennsylvania, but B, that the government should have won. And when the verdict came back guilty on one of them, I was appalled. I mean, it's just stunning the abuse of the system that was conducted in that case. And of course, in the many cases we saw related to President Trump in New York City and Atlanta and the New York.
Well, AG, Bruce, back to that. But you're the perfect guy because you are as pro law enforcement as I am or beyond. And your record says that. But Bruce, I did think Trump should have instantaneously, a lot of these cases, they never should have been brought or were misdemeanors or they were overcharged or there was prosecutorial difficulty. Where there's some, though, in your judgment, because in mine there were, they may be as few as 15 to 20, where people did attack cops and deserved a substantial sentence.
And I think you saw that. I mean, I think that a number of cases were commuted, and which is the difference between a commutation and a pardon is their sentences reduced. I mean, I don't know that there was any conduct that occurred that day that warranted years in prison if you didn't have a record. If the people had been in prison for 3 years and the president decided that was enough, I mean, I'm inclined to think that the president ought to be given the benefit of the doubt on those. One of the things that just infuriated me is the the prosecutors in that case sent me dozens and dozens of hours of video surveillance from that day that had nothing whatever to do with my client, wasting my time watching it. And most of it was looking at, you know, nothing.
What was your client charged with, Bruce, if he can tell us?
Trespass and, okay. And you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, I got in the one case I was just referring to, the guy who was in charge of the Capitol Police that day was a commander with 31 years experience. I used an overhead map where an X was, where my client was arrested. And I asked the guy, is that on the Capitol grounds? And he said, no. Well, you know, it turns out that it was, but that guy didn't even know it. And my client was from Oregon, and the first time that person had ever been there. So how do you lose that case, you know? And I took a photograph from the Capitol steps of my client standing where the arrest took place, and I had to blow it up 10 times in order to be able to tell it was a person, much less my client, to tell you how far away it was.
How about the conditions in the jail, too? We're told they intentionally, at least in some of these cases, seem to go out of their way. It happened with the Watergate people, too, in the Washington jails.
Yeah. I mean, it was absolutely appalling, the conditions that these people were put in and the treatment that they were given by federal officers or municipal officers in D.C. I mean, it was like going through the looking glass when I'm used to general sanity in mm-hmm. Pennsylvania law enforcement and Pennsylvania prosecution.
I hear you. I wish I had known that we would have had you on at that point, Bruce. So how do you see what's going on now, particularly out of Montgomery County? The DA is not one of those guys like Krasner. I'm talking about the illegal immigration stuff that's already happened. And without doubt, the people that are being taken away, the records, the stuff that they've done or they're charged with is extraordinary.
Well, let's remember that all of these guys like Krasner and Letitia James and that guy in New York and that Fannie Willis and all these other crazy prosecutors, all of them post-date Montgomery County DA Kevin Steele and his outrageous treatment of in the Cosby case. And they were watching that. And when nothing bad happened to him, they figured, well, what the hell? We may as well play to our constituents, too. It doesn't matter what your oath is. You should play to your constituents and you'll be in office forever.
Well, that's the mark against Steele. And I agree with you here. They're letting out prisoners during COVID for overcrowding that are not a threat. Cosby is a guy that has limited or no vision, et cetera, and was about 83 at that point, and yet he wouldn't let him go home.
Well, right. I mean, that's the only time in all the years I've been doing this, over 40 years, that I ever saw the Supreme Court let anybody out of jail without a remand or anything. I mean, that tells you how outrageous that was. But when prosecutors can get away with that, and there's no downside to playing to your voters, playing to your constituency, then you're going to keep having these crazy prosecutions like happened to President Trump or happened to Cosby, these sorts of things, because if nothing bad happens, because the whole part about being a prosecutor that sets them apart from everyone else is they have an oath to apply the facts to the law and apply that reasonably and with a blindfold. Now, in this case, if Krasner arrests somebody who was received a pardon from J6 stuff, what is his answer when the judge says, but for the pardons, would you have gone ahead and investigated and prosecuted this case? He has to say no, and that means it was a bad faith from the beginning, which creates double jeopardy issues, and it creates a liability for the city and perhaps for him. I mean, it's just an outrageous statement to make when the electorate spoke nationwide, the chief executive acted, and now we're gonna try to figure out some way to overrule what the president did. It's insanity.
Exactly. Well, we know you're in the bullpen, ready to go. So, Bruce, hey, Bruce, thank you. It's been way too long. Please keep us in the loop, and thank you for coming on today.
Absolutely, Dom. Thanks for having me.
All-time great attorney, Bruce Castor there. I didn't know some of the defendants he had. You heard what he said about Krasner. Here are the phone lines, 855-839-1210. Coming up, President Trump headed to California to turn on the spigot of all that federal aid. What are the two things that he wants the strings to be attached? I'll tell you what they are on Talk Radio 1210. All right, President Trump talking about reforming FEMA or getting rid of FEMA. These are massive undertakings. What a boondoggle of an organization. They really just are not top-notch. And it is, in the end, you know, we've seen it so many times. FEMA is important. And the people sometimes put in charge are just political appointees. All right. What are the two things President Trump said this morning he'll be demanding? And let's talk about what he's going to do if they won't do it, which I don't think they will, from California in order to get the aid. One, to turn on the water. Gavin Newsom already saying, well, it's not that simple. We don't have the water and all that. Now, that one is can be resolved, maybe. They'll have the water if they'll not worry about the smelt fish. The other, though, is Trump saying, and this is master negotiation, California has to do voter ID. All right, here's a little bit of Trump saying that.
Funding to Los Angeles because of its sanctuary city policy.
I want to see two things in Los Angeles. Voter ID, so that the people have a chance to vote. And I want to see the water be released and come down into Los Angeles and throughout the state. Those are the two things. After that, I will be the greatest president that California ever has ever seen. Well, I want the water to come down. And come down to Los Angeles and also go out to all the farmland that's barren and dry. You know, they have land that they say is the equivalent of the land in Iowa, which is about as good as there is anywhere on Earth. The problem is it's artificial because they artificially stop the water from going onto the land. So I want two things. I want voter ID for the people of California, and they all want it. Right now, you don't have voter ID. People want to have voter identification. You want to have proof of citizenship. Ideally, you have one-day voting. But I just want voter ID as a start, and I want the water to be released, and they're going to get a lot of help from the U.S. Thank you very much. I'll see you in a little while.
All right. So, you know, we have an interesting thing going on here. Trump is smart to say, as we talked about before, what are the strings that are going to be attached to this? You just can't have these people doing this routinely. On the other hand, you have real people suffering tremendously, some of it due to the nonsense that we've gone through with the fire chief, the mayor, the governor, the general politicization of everything that goes on there around DEI and everything else. Are you going to withhold aid? Now, you're not going to get voter ID out of them. I mean, you could tell them you're going to die and they're not going to give it up in that state, at least the politicians. But the water thing is critical so that we don't have this again and again and again. All right, let me go to Debbie and Manayunk on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Debbie.
Oh, my God, Dom. I've been AWOL, but I always listen to you.
Well, thank you, Debbie, very
okay,
much.
So this really hit my buttons. The thing with the abortion and the protesters, it's absolutely insane because Biden destroyed a lot of the records, you know, and the arrest, and that's really bad. Now I'm going to segue into the abortion thing and this Catholic Church and this DEI and this Episcopal lady. Okay, so they never called out Biden, who professes that he's this wonderful Catholic. No priest, no bishop, no cardinal ever told him, you can't have communion. You're in a state of mortal sin. You know, abortion to 9 months, who cares? The only one I'm aware of who stood up to them was Cardinal De Leon in San Francisco, mm-hmm. who has balls. He stood up. He didn't care about the rest of the church. He refuses to let Nancy Pelosi publicly right. even have communion.
Yeah, it's rare, but this is going to be, you know, what does it take before Catholics look at this and go, enough, we got to cut them off somehow. Now, the arrogance of this bishop trying to tell us that these vicious criminals among us have rights, have humanity. No, they don't. They can have it in another country.
So inappropriate for her to leash out and be some like crazy rabid person. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit of my story. A cradle Catholic, okay, married a Lutheran, belonged to a Lutheran church for 25 years. Guy was great. And then they brought in this DEI guy, dyeing his hair blue and wearing blue sneakers to church. And during COVID said, oh, during virtual communion, you can use your donut or a Girl Scout cookie. I looked at my husband and I said, oh, my God, there's nothing sacred here. I'm out. And I vote with my feet. I left.
I hear you, Debbie. I'm working on that. If it's a thin mint, okay, maybe. But the donut you could use virtually here, right? It's blessed. All right. Well, it was COVID. All right. Coming up, big 1 o'clock hour. At 2 o'clock, Mark Houck, who suffered and now has a civil suit, very similar to these protesters that President Trump freed, and up and down the line, objectively. I would have freed them first before anybody else. They, the abuse around the Abortion Clinic Act. You remember Houck. That's why we wanted him back. He underlines the whole thing. We have Dom's Money Melody. Get in on the side, too. What is that film that everybody says how good it is? And you may think it's a bit overrated or a lot overrated. 855-839-1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.